And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's Thursday, September 10th, 2020. I'm not sure if Butch is with me or not. We had a little bit of technical problems.
I'm right here.
From West Virginia.
I'm right here.
You're there.
I'm here.
In good old southern West Virginia. Welcome.
Yeah, it has been beautiful here. It really has.
Good.
Been beautiful.
It really is a beautiful state.
It really is. I have no complaints.
Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you just fine.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and let me tell you about pricing in gold and silver today. We have gold, well, some pressure on it, but we had a really strong early morning. We had a high of $1,967. Right now we're at $1,944, down $1,943, down $3.50 for the day. Silver is, down 23 cents at $26.83. Platinum was up $2, $928. Palladium was down 12 at $2,324. It's a nice play in platinum. You know, where you have palladium down, but platinum is up, and the other gold and silver, precious metals, was down. So that might be a good sign that platinum might be ready to take off. I mean, one day is just, too young to tell, but something to take note of. You have, the USDX today was up 0.12, 93.38. Crude oil was down another 99 cents at 37.06. And the paper markets today, they were down pretty big earlier in the day, 600 points. We're looking at 406 on the Dow to the downside, 27,534. The NASDAQ was down 2%, 10,919. That's 221 points. And the S&P was down 1.75%, 3,339, down basically 60 points. The 10-year yield dropped a little bit, 0.02 for 0.68%. Futures contract was 1951, so it was doing a little bit better than spot. World markets are pretty nothing to get excited about. And, I guess folks and Butch, it's pretty much the same information that we've been talking about. Weekly jobless claims misestimates,
yes,
as employment gains taper. Weekly jobless claims totaled 884,000. They were expecting 850,000. So continuing claims totaled 13.3 million, an increase of 93,000 from the previous week. So again, these were worse than expected, and the labor reported the 884,000 first time filings for unemployment. So not a good report, and we ain't seen nothing yet, as they say.
No, we haven't seen anything yet.
Nope, we haven't seen anything yet. You have European central banks are keeping rates and the stimulus program unchanged. They're kind of ignoring the stronger euro for now. And Pompeo tells Southeast Asia to stand up to China. Okay? Like Southeast Asia is going to do that. I mean, it's just, it's still the same. Manhattan rental market plunges, leaving 15,000 empty apartments in August. U.S. cancels visas of more than 1,000 Chinese nationals deemed security risks.
And by the way, you mentioned Manhattan rentals dropping. They really have. And that's when the landlords give them some free rent, some months free, and even pay the, closing costs or the broker's fee, but that's offering them free rent and everything else. They're still way short of renters.
That's very true.
That's amazing. I mean, that this is New York City, Melody. Used to be you had to almost pry out of somebody's cold, dead hands to get a place to stay.
That's true.
Amazing.
So, and you know, folks, we might be seeing this, you know, the rental market, but then you have to remember who owns these apartments. The rental market is weak and getting weaker. New York is not the only place
no,
in this
it isn't.
Country that's having these issues.
No, it is not.
And so, again, this is yet to become an issue. But it's an issue that's not going to go away. And it's not going to get any better.
And some places are forcing landlords get to give them rent, let's stay there for free. That is killing the business also. As far as the landlord goes, they're out of money.
They're out of money.
So there's nothing fair about it.
The moratorium is till the end of the year. There's nothing they can do. They can't evict them.
That's totally, totally wrong.
It is. So what is going to happen? Do you think these people are going to be able to make up the back rent? Do you think they'll be able to negotiate with the landlords to say, well, I'll pay you an extra $100 a month to make up for the last 6 months? No, they're going to, I would think that once the moratorium is up, that they're just going to evict everybody and you're going to have millions of people getting evicted from their homes. Or, if they continue to keep people from being evicted, then the people who own these properties will be filing for bankruptcy. They'll
That's
be
right.
defaulting on their homes, on these rentals. Allow the banks to pick them up, and then allow government to pick it up. And then when you rent, you can make your check to the U.S. government, so now they control
it. Wow. You reckon that could be part of the plan? I mean, gee, that could, now you're talking conspiracy here. They wouldn't do that.
Well, they wouldn't do that.
No, they wouldn't take
us.
You home
they're
for $500 back taxes either.
Yeah, they're working for us. Come on.
That's right. Just talked to a gentleman today that his neighbor had a home worth about $80,000. They took it for $1,000 in back taxes.
Yep.
Now, the government wouldn't do that, would they? They wouldn't kick you out of your home for $1,000. You paid for it. It's yours. Worked hard for it. And for $1,000 in back taxes, they kicked you out. Isn't that wonderful?
Isn't that great?
Living in a free country. Anyway, don't get me started on that. That makes me angry. But the landlords won't be able to make their payments, which means the people they owe money to won't be able to make their payments. So the chain is broken.
And the thing of it is, Butch, it's the same. It's this industry, the rental industry, the landlords. It isn't the large real estate companies. They always have access to capital. The big landlords, they'll be all right.
Yeah, right.
But here we are, the smaller mom-and-pop landlords, and they might just have one or two buildings. They're the ones that are going to lose. And it's just like everything else. And the big guys come in and scoop it up. They've done
That's
it.
That's very true.
And they're doing it with every industry out there.
Including farms.
They don't want mom and pop to own businesses.
Including farms. By the bunches.
Including farms.
So they're putting our food supply and everything else in the hands of conglomerates who don't care about us, so to speak, except to use us as a machine to get money out of.
Yep.
That's very true.
That's what happens very when true. We have a consumer society.
Well, so. You're right. Exactly right. A consumer society can only live as long as somebody else is doing the production.
Yep.
That's just the way it is.
So.
Well, you started off on something hot there. I mean, really, when that guy called and told me his neighbor lost his home for that tax, that made me angry. Makes me very angry.
It does. We never own our... No one owns anything in this country. And I mean,
no, we don't.
Yeah, I get... I mean, you can talk about, you know, the corporate America and why and so forth, that they own anything because of the U.S. dollar and so forth. I get it. But it's still... It's, and yet, And Butch, it's nothing changes.
No,
it
doesn't.
It always stays the same. Doesn't matter who's in power. You know, everybody was so afraid of Hillary. You know, I kind of wish we had Hillary. Now I'm just joking, folks. I'm just joking. That was a.
Well, you know, the one advantage of having Hillary, though, is that a lot of people would be much more on guard.
True.
They wouldn't trust anything she'd done. They trust Trump, and look what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so, I mean,
and
you
I
know,
want to, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Is,
go ahead.
You know, hindsight is, you know, but go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I'm not going to give the name of this company, but I want to run it by you, let you see how some precious metals companies are ripping people off. And folks, this is exactly why I stay with Melody Cedarstrom. This company says they have a limited amount of silver dollars, the Silver Eagles, and they're rare because they were minted in Philadelphia because the mint in West Point shut down. So Philadelphia stepped up and minted, I think, 200-some thousand these silver dollars. And they're asking $69 each for them, plus shipping and handling. Now, how's that for a markup?
That's cheap, Butch.
That's cheap?
If you go online, you will see people selling these for $89, $189, $289. $389, $489, $589. They're calling them rare coins.
Yes,
they
are. Yes. No, they're not rare.
They're not rare. There isn't anything about them. Not in today's world.
So I read this.
100 years from now, if half of them are broke. Yeah, maybe. Are you going to be around 100 years from now?
But I looked at it, I thought, my goodness, and you told people don't buy them now, even from you, because the price is too high. I cannot tell you how much I admire that, Melody. Now, I've never dealt with anybody that was as frank and open as you are. I mean, that is very, very rare in society today, so people should appreciate who you are and what you're doing.
You know, it's funny. I just had this conversation with one of my buyers on Friday, and we kind of chuckled about it because we ended up talking about, you know, these coins that were minted in Philly. And they had some extras, and, you know, they sent them out to, you know, somebody picked them up, sent them out to the grading company, had them slap them on there like they're something special. And he says, you know what's funny? You crack them out of the case, and it's still a one-ounce silver eagle. Worth
wow.
$20 or 24, whatever the spot price is. It truly is amazing that.
But people spend that. They'll buy them.
I had a customer who paid $500 for them.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No, I am not.
He paid $500 for a silver eagle?
$500. And that's when I went online and checked them out, and I saw prices from $289. Most of them were $289, $259, somewhere around in there.
Because they're minted in Philadelphia.
Because they were minted in Philadelphia, and somebody said they were rare.
Oh, my gracious, my goodness. How'd the guy feel when he told him the truth?
Well, he did try to get his money back. I don't know if he ever did or not. You know, he made his order and... with me and so forth, and most likely he probably kept them. I think. I don't know.
He'll never get money
hear
back
from him, so I'm assuming that he did. Folks, bigger is not
back.
Always better, and that's what these companies will talk you into. All of these, and I can't say they're bad companies. You know, the ones that you see on TV that are advertised as big. Big is not better. You get your product. You accept the price. You accept whatever they tell you, so you have to take some of that responsibility also. But I can
well,
tell
well,
you...
Of course you do.
I mean, he told me, my buyer told me. I think I shared this on this program. I'm not sure if it was the one I was on the other night. There was an older woman. She spent $1 million on gold eagles.
Mm.
Now, this is bullion coins, $1 million on gold eagles. And she wanted to know what the value was. I don't know. It was like 6 months later. She bought them earlier this year. And she was, and gold, we've seen gold go up, what, $500?
Mm-hmm.
She should have been making money. Instead, she was still down $100,000.
Oh, my gosh.
That'd make you sick. After gold had gone up, for what, $400 or $500?
That'd make you sick.
She was still losing $100,000. Thank goodness gold went up. And again, it's these big guys. It's their, you know, and that's, and she's not alone. They're everywhere.
How do these guys sleep at night?
My answer to that, in some very nice houses.
I reckon so. Yeah. After a swim in the pool. Yeah.
So,
that's amazing. That is amazing.
It really is. I mean, I can tell you stories like that day in and day out. I had a gentleman call me. This goes back maybe 4 years. He called me. He says, Melody, I'm a smart man. Okay. He said, I never thought I could be conned. You could tell me day in and day out, I never thought I could be conned. I thought I was more savvy. He says, but I was conned. I was conned by one of these dealers on TV. Called him up, made a big order, and he said, I lost a boatload. You can't get conned by these people. They're very good.
Of course they are.
They're a lot better than I am.
Of course they are. But you know, again, that's I've learned over the years, no matter how good you think you are, there's somebody better. So you need to be cautious. You need to be cautious. It's like somebody makes a computer system that can't be hacked. Oh, yes, it can. Somebody figure it out. So people be careful. Please be careful. Don't go anywhere. Call Melody first. Give her a chance to talk to you. Don't go on these magazines. This one come out of the Week magazine, by the way. Don't take their word for good morning. Come on now. Don't do that. Even if they're honest, it doesn't hurt to check again with somebody else. It doesn't hurt to double check. It's like seeing a doctor for a diagnosis. It doesn't hurt to have a second opinion. So this is why you shop. There are three, exactly. This is why you shop. You just don't take somebody's word for it. They may be telling you the truth. I mean, you're not being rude when you shop either. Just tell me to get back to them. But that's sad. That really is.
Hey, what's sad is we're out of time for this first break. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. You know, I just want to say this, and we're going to go on to one of the items that you would like to discuss. And we just can't forget that when the Federal Reserve in March, they've been pumping trillions of dollars into these financial markets. It's quantitative easing, but they don't call it that. And they're purchasing assets directly in the financial markets just to support these asset prices. They're buying trillions of dollars worth of bonds directly from big companies, or even indirectly in secondary markets. You have these trillions of dollars that's being spread around by the Fed, supporting everything. Real estate investment trusts, private equity firms. You know, it truly is amazing. And you don't think that these other investment groups aren't taking various advantages? So, you know, it's really marked against you. And once these stimulus, once these financial market stimulus begins to expire, I don't know what, you know, it's not going to stay up on its own. I'm not a financial planner. I can't tell you to get out of paper, but I don't know why you would want to be in paper. I mean, Butch, no one knows. Everybody is so focused on these elections. Why do you think they're as crazy as they are? Because they don't want to talk about anything else. They don't want to talk about their policies. They don't want to talk about their policies because it would divert attention to what's really happening in this country.
Well, Biden cannot run Trump up to the podium.
He's stupid.
So anyway, but you know, you talk about the market, and this article I want to share part of it. It's out of the Washington Post by Heather Bowsley. I thought this was very well written. The stock market is detached from economic reality. A reckoning is coming. When the stock market surged last week, President Donald Trump was quick to tweet the Dow Jones Industrial just closed about 29,000. The picture changed a bit after the Dow slid 800 points a few days later, largely driven by the poor performance of tech stocks, which continued after Labor Day weekend. The stock market is a continuing obsession of his. We have the greatest economy in the world, he said last month, boasting of market gains in the midst of a deep recession caused by coronavirus. It's understandable why the president wants to use the markets as a measure of the economy's health. Even unemployment hovers at 8.4%. Folks, that's low. That is not right. Anyway, and many businesses remain crippled. Since the start of the year, the Standard & Poor's 500 index, even followed the recent drop, is up 4.3%, and Dow is down a mere 3%. If stocks were the sole measure of economic health, you might think the economy is on the mend, perhaps even poised for a breakout. The president and his supporters are ignoring that what former Federal Reserve Chairman Janet Yellen recently forcibly explained. The stock market isn't the economy. The economy is production and jobs, and there are shortfalls in virtually every sector. Yet how has the stock market remained so resilient in the face of such a severe economic shock? In part, it's because of inequality. Stocks are overwhelmingly owned by the top 1%, which means speculation can continue even if people lost their jobs at the onset of this recession, then at any time since the Great Depression. What's more, majors such as the Dow and S&P 500 reflect only the very largest U.S. companies, which can weather steep slumps in demand in the way the Main Street enterprises can.
While the relief packages Congress passed this spring were better at shielding large companies from economic harm than smaller ones. Given how troubling the underlying economic data are, the immunity of the markets can continue, as we may be seeing soon. Very well written. She hit right on the head. The market is fantasy, people. It is not an indicator of a healthy economy. It's an indicator of multi-billion corporations swapping paper back and forth. It has nothing to do with you paying your power bill or your phone bill. Nothing at all. So, I just want to share that, Melanie, because I thought that was very important. Very well said, very well written article.
And there's so many people who have their retirement accounts, their pension accounts. They're just sitting there.
I agree.
And it's, and I know, I have friends. Well, we don't know what else to do. We're protected the best we can. Our financial planner has us in real conservative investments. Does he have you in gold? No. Well, then.
Well, did they not know that?
Wide open for devastation. Wide open.
Don't they know that some market planners are actually telling people to roll over some money in precious metals? Are there financiers that tell them, hey, you need to have some precious metals? Or are they just keeping it from them?
Oh, I have a couple of accountants and financial planners who do recommend me, and they'll send their clients to me to put gold in there. But your majority of your financial planners and so forth, if they get, why do you think the gold ETF was one of the first ETFs created? That was so these brokers could sell ETFs. And you know, people wonder why the gold market is so slow to take off. Well, why do you think? They watered it down by opening up the ETFs. They have more control. They can make gold go up. They can make gold go down. They can do, you know, temporary, you know, and quick. They can have quick impacts on the markets. So it was their ability to, you know, sell something that people wanted, even though it's really not. And heck, when was the last time are they ever audited? People, you know, you're supposed to have, what, 10% of these ETIs is supposed to be in gold? Really? I don't know of anyone who's asked for gold when they sold their ETFs. You don't have gold if there's paper involved. There's no such thing as paper gold.
You have paper. You have paper, you have paper. And come the time you think you're going to cash it in, you may be surprised there's no gold there.
And you may be surprised that whoever you have your investment with, maybe they won't be able to pay you either.
Very true. That's what I'm saying. There's nothing there.
There's nothing there. Even if you sold it out and you didn't want the gold and it to pay off your contract, the brokerage house might not have the funds to pay you. And they always will change margin calls on gold. You know, gold starts, you know, running away. They'll change margin calls. Oh, well, no, we got to increase it and, you know, slow this down. These are small markets. They're very easy to manipulate. And, but does that stop the fundamentals from becoming important? No. It makes them even stronger. Let them manipulate it as long as they can. That's what I say. Thank you. Thank you for keeping the price from going up to $5,000 and $6,000. That means I can buy more. You shouldn't become discouraged just because the prices of gold and silver go down. You should rejoice and say, now I can buy some at a lower price, bring my other costs down if I bought higher, and I can get more.
Wouldn't you think people could see that when you buy a paper asset, you're gambling? You follow me?
Not unless you understand what paper is.
Well, it's a gambling. It's gambling. Yeah, I don't care if you invest in GE or invest in Boeing or invest in whatever. It's gambling. That's all it is.
Those financial planners are pretty good. You go to Las Vegas and, you know, you get a nice dealer behind that table and, you know, you might just play more games than you should. It is gambling.
Yes, it is gambling. And folks, you have to understand that. And I would like to share another little bit of an article here. I think this is important too, because it's looking at what we're facing today. And people are starting to realize this article is really true. The evidence keeps piling up. Lockdowns don't work. The toll lockdowns have taken on human life and human rights has been incalculable. Increases in child abuse, suicide, and even heart attacks all appear to be a feature of mandatory stay-at-home orders issued by politicians who now rule by decree without any legislative or democratic due process. And then, of course, there is an economic toll on employment, and which will feed negative impacts in the longer term. The economic burden has fallen the most on the young and on the working-class families, where earners are least able to work from home. These measures also have made a mockery of basic human rights while essentially expatriating private property. Mom-and-pop business owners were told to shut their doors indefinitely or face arrest. The unemployment were told it was now illegal to work for a living if the careers were deemed non-essential. Police officers have been beating citizens for not social distancing, while mothers are manhandled by cops for attempting to use playground equipment. This was all done because some politicians and bureaucrats, who were in no danger of losing their large paychecks, decided it was a great idea to carry out bizarre and risky experiment, forcing large swaths of the population to stay at home in the name of preventing the spread of disease. You know, and that's pretty hard hitting, pretty harsh. But if you live in this, it's real. If you're out of work, or you're not working steady, or your business is shut down for good, you have a little mom and pop store that you worked in for 30 years and you couldn't make it through this. Even if they thought this would help, it's still for real for those that lost everything, Melody. There's nothing good about it. Nothing good about it. So I don't know how to get people to understand this, that when you cripple a world economy as they have this world for sure, cripple the world economy, that payback is going to be hell. You follow what I'm saying?
Well, of course I do.
You know, and I know people want to hear these things, but it doesn't change the fact that when you break a supply line, worldwide production, put people out of work, and cause all this stress on people that's not needed, and I have figures here to prove what I'm saying, I want to say it, as far as the deaths by coronavirus worldwide, according to their own statistics, 832,748 have died by coronavirus. That's just the virus. Now, not counting abortion, not counting some other things here that you could use. In car accidents, 885,755 died. Are they going to outlaw cars? In cancer, has killed, I'm trying to find numbers here, way more than coronavirus has killed. But they're not banning anybody from going to the hospital that has cancer out in the streets. 5.3 million died of cancer. 320,392 died of the regular flu. So this has been hyped up, and they've destroyed the economy for the world. And I know people personally who are still not working, who lost their jobs, the stores that have been open here for 2 months and lost it all. They shut down. And they still haven't found a job to replace that job. Oh, I mean, nothing that pays what they were getting. They may find one at McDonald's, but it's not going to pay them $15 an hour, if you know what I'm saying.
Well,
am I still there?
Okay. I mean, you know, I do, and you're right. But what now? What do we do? I mean, it happened. And
it happened.
It happened. We're here today, and it's not going away. And I don't know. It's you have to be aware and see what's going on, so you can understand what's coming down the road,
yes.
We have to face. And
I agree.
But I don't.
We haven't seen anything yet.
Did you hear any of those interviews though, from President Trump and Woodward?
No.
The tapes.
No.
He was talking. President Trump was talking about that this virus was spread by air. Was it spread by touch? He says it's really a bad thing. I don't know why he would be lying. to Woodward?
I did read that. I didn't read it, but I didn't see it, but I did read that. Yes, yes.
So I don't know. I don't know why he wouldn't lie, would he? Why would he lie?
Yes.
He says this is really a bad thing. And, you know, and then I thought to myself, well, maybe he was just getting bad reports. But then I thought to myself, well, on February 4th, if he thought that this was really, really bad, why would you have events on February 10th? That's where I have the issues. Because if he really thought it was really, really bad, why would he put people in danger? Just
again,
so he could have a rally.
You said the other day, you said very clearly, who do you trust?
Yeah.
Who do you trust? I can't think, when it comes to politicians, I can't think of one I would trust. I mean, not in on a national level, especially. I can't think of one of them I would trust, and I know some personally. I'm not saying that they are totally bad people, but I don't trust them. I really don't. And if, when you have people that you have to rely on, when you have to rely on sources, when you, those sources are supposed to be honest and direct with you, and you can't trust them, where do you go? If you can't find information for yourself, where do you go? That's a question. Who do you trust? You know, and even this article I thought was interesting. Copycat websites, newly minted companies, double. Go ahead,
I'm
sorry.
I just want to say one more thing on that.
Yes.
And where we're headed with this, you saw the headline. I didn't have a chance to read the article where the United Kingdom is going to test the entire population.
Yes. Yes.
Now, where do you think that is going, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, are you serious? And what happens if you don't? What happens if you say, get that swab out of my nose? They got your DNA, and that's what I believe is, you know, the main thing behind all this is DNA.
I totally agree. More markers and personal markers to track you with.
Yep.
We're going to go to break, so I won't try to get this article now. But
all
yeah,
right, go ahead.
We're not going to have time for a break now, I don't think. But this is going to cause greater division and more chaos in the streets because people are going to say no. And in this country alone, even Democrats and Republicans both are about evenly divided on those who will take the vaccine and those that won't. So it's not going to be pretty. It isn't. If they try to force it, it's going to be really, really nasty.
So, is that anyway. The article you wanted to talk about?
No, that's not it. I got another one to show you, man.
Well, you're right. We didn't have time. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Please stay tuned.
Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight?
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey Elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. I'm going to let you take it away, Butch.
Well, this has been the past two segments, and we covered a lot of information.
We have, and
the first segment was so important that people have got to realize that they cannot jump on any program and offer some coins. Please, people, double check, triple check, make sure you know what you're doing. I can't believe a guy paid $500 for a silver dollar. My mind just can't grasp that.
I'm not laughing
anyway.
Because he did. It's just a laugh of pain.
It hurts.
It hurts. But
here's something that we knew would happen, but you're just not coming out. Copycat websites, newly amended companies, double dippers cashed in on PPP loans. The Paycheck Program Protection Program Act is part of the Coronavirus Aid Relief and Economic Security Act that provides loans to small businesses during the pandemic. A suspicious online university whose curriculum appears to be cut and pasted from a European school, two companies with nearly identical websites, and two others with practically no internet presence. All five of these businesses are connected to the same Texas man. And all five received Paycheck Protection Program loans for a total of $3.65 million. I'm going to digest. This guy got $3.65 million from making up something on the internet. But anyway, these companies are among more than 75 businesses that received loans at least $150,000 from the Coronavirus Small Business Relief Program, but don't appear to have existed before this spring or to have met other eligibility criteria for the program, which was administered by the U.S. Small Business Administration. Collectively, the questionable loans, which are publicly reported as a range of values rather than a specific amount, total somewhere between $20 million and $15 million that they know of, Melody, that they know of. Give out in phony loans to businesses that didn't exist.
Only in America.
Oh, in America. How, and I guess it's possible, well, obviously it's possible, but when you think before they dipped out $150,000 of our money, they would at least look and see and make sure it's real.
I know. I mean, how hard can it be? It's just so many signs of, I mean, it's like programs can't be completed properly, the job numbers, miscalculations. I mean, how hard is it? I mean, I get this is a big nation, but we got big government too. I mean, what do these people do? I mean, you can't fire them for being incompetent. It truly is amazing. It really is.
And one article said, when this crackdown comes, they didn't lose their jobs. So it's easy to make rules that cut people's jobs off, but they kept their jobs, their big paychecks and all the benefits, so it didn't affect them. Go figure. But this article here says lower tax hauls from sales and personal income alone could cost state government between $106 to $225 billion in fiscal year 2021. The overall shortfall, however, could easily reach twice that amount when the hits to other sources of state and local funds are factored in. And I think that's right. I think it's a low amount. I really do. What's going to cost the states and local governments next year? I think that's really low. I really do. And another article says a surge in home renovation and do-it-yourself projects during the pandemic has driven lumber prices up 134% year over year. That adds about $14,000 average to the cost of a new home. Now, maybe this surge in demand may have raised the prices. I don't know that. But I do know that there's a lack of supply in Lowe's and other places and Home Depot for lumber, and you're paying a premium price for whatever you get, no matter what it is. Everything from a treated 2x4 to a piece of plywood to chipboard, the prices have more than, well, some places quadrupled. So whatever the reason is, It's expensive to build now.
You know, I think it has a lot to do also because I know we get wood from Canada, and I don't know how much of that increased with the trade with the new NAFTA trade agreement, because I know there was a lot of hoopla, you know, along with that and the cheese. So, but there were reports I can remember a couple of years ago where we would start seeing building wood become more expensive. So,
yes.
So that's part of it.
And people, I just talked to a gentleman the other day, 2 weeks ago, he lost his home to a fire, just destroyed his home. Real nice fellow. He was in Cleveland having treatment for cancer when he found out his house had burned. No one's killed, thank God, but his house burnt down, just destroyed. His insurance that he had was adequate insurance, but with the prices the way they are now, it's not enough to rebuild his house. So he's going to try to buy like a double wide or something. I hadn't thought about that.
If you can ever just make sure, folks, if you have your homeowners in policy, make sure it has replacement cost on there.
That's important.
That's very important. Replacement costs.
So the folks, that's a shame, but you know, but that's just the way it is. And Cuomo signs New York City restaurant's death warrant. Governor says he won't allow, and I'll go from there. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo on Tuesday said he would not reopen indoor dining in New York City despite the infection rate being less than 1% for 2 weeks in a row. Now, because he said it would double the number of bars currently open, and there's no one to enforce social distancing standards. The reasoning came after a conglomerate of bar and restaurant owners sued the state for $2 billion in damages, claiming they were being unfairly shackled and stopped from making money. New York City, which has more bars and restaurants than any other city in the U.S., remains the only metropolitan in the world that is yet to resume in indoor dining. The only city left in the world that's not resumed indoor dining. It's also the only place in the state of New York that has not allowed to welcome diners inside again. As colder weather approaches, outdoor dining, which has been an option for a small percentage of the city's written establishments, will end, with no plan to let people back inside, and the industry is under an unprecedented threat. But on Tuesday, Cuomo said he will not allow it to start up again unless the city, i.e. Mayor Bill de Blasio, came up with a unique task force to enforce the rules. De Blasio said has put forth no such plan. Wow.
You know, it's amazing. You know what, if you told these restaurant owners they want to open, I bet they would make sure they would do what they have to do.
I'm sure.
Why wouldn't they? You know.
But the only city in the world.
Look over your shoulder. You got to make sure that you're doing everything right. I mean, even just the way he states things. I'm not going to let it open. He's a thug. I'm not going to do this. You can't do this. Ugh.
That just makes me angry. But the only city in the world that hasn't reopened the indoor dining, and the only one in the state of New York that hasn't. To me, it looks like a walking lawsuit.
Well, they can do what everybody else does. I mean, our restaurants, they're not open 100%. You have to have outside seating. And if you just have inside, they're only open, I think it's now up to like 50% or 75% for inside. It's not 100%.
Well, that's better than nothing.
Better than nothing,
you know. But these poor restaurant owners in New York. I mean, wintertime comes, you can't eat outside in New York. Well, I guess you could, but it'd be kind of comfortable.
And you can have the same number of people do takeout though too. It's not the same, but you don't make your money on the food. You may always made the money on the alcohol. So your takeout does not cover the losses from the alcohol. That's where the money's made.
And it doesn't cover the tips that waitresses lose by waiting on tables.
Waitresses lose by the tips.
So that's because waitresses don't make much money salary. You know that. They depend
Although
on
I,
tips.
I have heard, I do know a lot of people. I mean, I do. People have a tendency to just tip a little bit more now, because even though it's takeout, because we know that they're having troubles and so forth. So if you do a lot of takeout at a regular place, throw in a couple of extra bucks, because they are having difficulties.
Would know that.
Pardon?
Well, I expect most people don't even think of that, Mel. They probably didn't down on them for takeout. They need to give extra. They probably didn't down on them.
I mean, even your fast food restaurants anymore have, not all of them, but some of them will have a tip jar. And we don't know, I mean, you don't know where it goes to, but hopefully it goes to the employee. So.
Well, I remember back in the old days when waitress didn't pay tax on tips.
Yeah, I remember that. I used to be a waitress, yeah.
Yeah, that was just to consider your money. Wow, it couldn't have that. Mm-hmm. But on one good side, COVID is turning us all into hipsteaders. That's a new word I didn't know what it meant after I read the article. When COVID-19 arrived this winter, Chase Beathard worried so much about meat shortages that he took advantage of a Craigslist ad offering a free boar, now a 33-year-old old breed's pigs. Producing pork from his home in Shelton, Washington, places Beathard in a cohort who plunged into it do-it-yourselfism while hunkering down during the pandemic. They're gobbling up content like a YouTube series on growing food from Homesteaders of America that had a 10-fold jump in subscribers in 48 hours. Meanwhile, sales more than doubled at Estee, an online market for handmade goods. Revenue gains at DIY Giants, Home Depot, and Lowe's are the highest in nearly two decades. And yet, folks, that's even without they had all the supplies in, they're still making more money. Go figure. And if you're looking for a pressure canner, chickens, or mason jars, good luck. They're often sold out. COVID-19 has just accelerated some of our long-term homesteading goals, Beathard said. While COVID has decimated large swaths of the global economy, it has sparked others like video conferencing and home appliances. Do-it-yourself pursuits such as bread making, gardening, and crafts also have boomed and appear primed to last after the pandemic becomes a dark, distant memory. Just as the Victory Gardeners supplemented rations and boosted morale during the World Wars, the DIYers of coronavirus are facing quarantines and shortages with a mix of survivalist bravado and self-expression. Many are skipping the usual retailers, instead turning to recycled goods, small businesses, or individuals for their needs. That is a little bit of a good outlook on that. Some people are actually prospering through this because they have enough ingenuity, enough wherewithal to raise chicken, hogs, cattle, whatever, make products and sell them online or sell them to neighbors. Melly, that's kind of encouraging in a way, isn't it?
It is. It is. And we're going to see more of that as we continue to go down and experience whatever's coming our way with what we have to face here in the future. So, yeah, that's great.
And if they have the means to grow their own food for their animals, like chickens or whatever they grow, mm-hmm. cattle, mm-hmm. place to have, you know, raise their own corn and grain or hay, that's wonderful. But a lot of them don't have that, obviously. But even mm-hmm. on a small, some of them say 10 acres, they can at least somewhat provide yeah. for the family by having some produce and some animals there that they can sell the goods. So that's wonderful. I like that. I do like that. That's ingenuity. Yes. That's American ingenuity.
Yes, it is.
Thank God for that. And JCPenney pulled out the hat, so to speak. They got an $800 million rescue deal with landlords. So they managed to make it through another week, another stand. And 1 week after we reported that JCPenney's was you know, getting ready to go bankrupt in the Southern District of Texas, was on the verge of liquidation after talks with its two largest landlords had collapsed. Today, the company lenders reached a tentative deal with mall landlords, Simon Property Group and Brookfield Property Partners, to buy the bankrupt chain. The deal, valued at $1.775 billion, would rescue the beleaguered department store chain from bankruptcy proceedings, averting a liquidation that would have threatened roughly 70,000 jobs and represented one of the most significant business collapses following the coronavirus pandemic. Joshua Sussberg at Kirkland & Ellis LLP, lawyer representing the company, said. So anyway, by the grace of God and some help, JCPenney avoided liquidation and saved 70,000 jobs. That's wonderful. Let's hope it works.
Let's hope it works.
You know, I mean, that is wonderful. That is actually some good news.
It is.
You know, I mean, I don't know what else to say to that, even add to that, because somebody had some ingenuity and some ways to work through this stuff, and that seemed like it worked out for them. So 70,000 jobs, now that's a lot of people that will not maybe lose their homes or their cars, and they can put food on the table.
Does everything that Penny's, they still have stores, right? They're still anchors.
Yeah,
these
are in shopping malls, yes.
These are in shopping malls, yeah. So
yes, yes.
Naturally, the landlords are going to work with them, because if they go, so goes the mall. because you have other ones that are going. You have Macy's going in some of these places. You have some of these big name box stores. Well, I don't know if you'd consider them box stores, but department stores. They're closing their doors and so forth. So, yeah, these landlords got to do anything that they can to keep them there and functioning where everything else goes, too. The question is, how long are these landlords going to continue to, unless Penny's needs some more financing in order to get their stuff functioning properly, but little step at a time.
Little step at a time. And China's farmers are hoarding wheat in hopes of creating shortages that will get the price for their wheat higher. That's interesting. I just thought I'd share that headline. I don't know how that's going to work, but it's interesting.
Gee, who doesn't do that?
Yeah, exactly.
Heck, our own dealers or wholesalers, the Sil Regals, did the same thing. Owners of, you know, the wholesalers and
right,
so forth.
Right.
So everybody does that.
Millennials to redistribute wealth from older generations to the young in new age of disorder, once Deutsche strategists. I guess this is in Germany. It probably won't take a great deal of persuasion to convince investors that there's an age of disorder. That's the title of a new Deutsche Bank. Oh, we're out of time. But generation millennials want to take money from the older people and get in their own pockets. There you go. There you are.
There you go. Get rid of the old
couldn't
people.
Couldn't happen here, though. Couldn't happen
no,
here.
Of course not. Useless eaters. We'll be right back tomorrow. We'll be right back tomorrow. And thank you for joining us today. And until then, be safe, good night, and God bless. Thank you, Butch.
You're welcome. If I got me, I'll be.